Hi, I'm Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms podcast.
Hi, Heather.
Hey.
Episode 2. Here we go.
We're here.
It's happening. So we wanted to start this episode with a little segment, I don't know, what should we call these?
Question,
yeah.
An airing of grievances? Confessional?
Confessional! Oh, you know why I loved Real World? We wanted to share what our most recent okayest mom moment is. Do you want to go first, Heather?
Sure. So we are in the throes of potty training, Nolan, and which is going pretty well. I'm going to knock on wood because I can't do that enough. It's going well. And we've kind of hit a minor snag in that I kind of thought we had skipped this, but potty training a boy is much different than potty training a girl.
Oh, really?
And I mean, when I potty trained Isla, I was very shocked that girls can also pee on the seat.
So, I was shocked when you told me that, yes.
I've never
done that.
Not to my recollection either, but you know, tiny butt, big seat, it makes sense. So I thought I had seen it all, right? Or like could expect it all. And Nolan's been doing really well. And I thought we were going to skip that whole phase of like the excitement of peeing outside that I've heard of other boys going through. And no, we just have just beelined right for that stage. And his new favorite thing now is to just pull his pants down. And he can't just like go pee outside. He has to pull his pants down to his ankles and pee. And so he did it yesterday in our front yard. And I was just about to open the garage. We just dropped Isla off at school and he goes, "I gotta pee." And I said, "Okay, let's go inside quick. And before I could even get the word quick out, he had pulled his pants down and was peeing in our yard and yelling, "It looks like a waterfall." So, you know.
Oh, boys.
So, I mean, I really thought that we were just going to skip over that. And potty training a boy is so, like, there's this whole, like, other conversation of, like, well, when do you teach them to stand up? And he decided, like, a week and a half in that he was ready to do.
So, great.
It's not great, but.
Yeah, you know. I feel like it's so much easier once they start standing up. Because then it doesn't, at least with my boys, they're going to love when they're older. And I'm talking
I know, right?
They had to take their pants all the way off if they sat on the toilet, but standing up, it was like they could just pull them down, which is great.
No, not if you're Nolan. You must pull them down all the way.
Get completely naked.
Well, it would be great if he was like a foot taller. So, adventures in potty training. If I never potty train another human again in my life, it will be too soon.
Amen.
All right, how about you? What's your latest okayest mom moment?
Well, I mean, mine isn't that funny. Maybe it is. So the other day I was watching something. I don't even remember what it was, but Harrison comes in acting like a teenager, flops down on the couch with a big sigh and is like, what is this? Housewives? It wasn't even Housewives, but the fact that he knows that's something I watch a lot is really troubling. Maybe I shouldn't watch it in front of them anymore.
Well, that just shows you how much you've indoctrinated him.
I know. Should I be worried?
No, not unless he's got opinions about people.
But then we can watch it together.
Like, if he starts telling you that Marlo doesn't deserve a peach, then you should take umbrage with it.
Well, then his opinion would be very wrong, so.
Exactly. So then it's a problem.
Oh, God. Stellar parenting over here.
You know, If you can't laugh at your kids, what are we even doing?
I know. Amen. I'm saying amen a lot today. I don't know why. Hallelujah.
Feeling the spirit.
Okay, so episode 2. We kind of touched on this in our intro episode that this one would look a little different. We have a ton of summer series content and that we want to get out to everyone. So the summer series was something we did over the summer that was 30 webinars over 6 weeks. And we talked about all kinds of motherhood topics. First, we want to say that this was intended as a webinar. So if some things don't translate, then just keep that in mind.
The other thing to bear in mind is that this was our first webinar. So it's a little extra clunky as far as sound goes. I didn't realize how loud I was. So I apologize for my drink clanking and all the other weird little shuffly noises you hear in the back. So.
Oh, that's the other thing. Heather is the Oprah on this webinar. You won't hear my voice at all. She did most of them, actually. I didn't jump on until the last, 2 weeks or something. So it'll be Heather and our friend G Young, who is talking about finding confidence in motherhood. G Young is a work-at-home mom of 3 adorable boys. She blogs at simplyevery.com about her daily chaos and her life in Metro Detroit. I met her back in, oh God, I thought I had a year for this, but it was before we had kids. I was a blogger in college in another life, and we met on Twitter of all places. So we've been friends for a long time. And I love her. She's just the best. She claims she's not an expert, but I think there is a lot of knowledge to be gleaned from this episode. She's just super cool. And I think you guys will like her too. She covers a lot. It's pretty broad, but the key points to look out for are how she found her groove in juggling motherhood in her life and the fact that motherhood is a journey and you may find confidence in one aspect of motherhood, but there's always somewhere else that you could be looking and it's an ongoing journey. So it doesn't get easier. It just changes. So with that said, let's jump into the episode.
The 5 things that I kind of just want to touch upon is little, I guess, outlines or headers of how I, in the last 6 years, have kind of found my groove in juggling motherhood with life. And the number one key is the fact that finding confidence in motherhood is pretty much a never-ending journey. And I say that not to be negative, but to be real and to be realistic that, you know, I feel like the ongoing big theme of motherhood that we live every day is, you know, you hit a new phase, whether it's you get out of the newborn fog, you get out of the infant years, you get out of the toddler years. I feel like everything with our children and their milestones is perfectly aligned to all of the things that we as moms learn. And so the thing that I've kind of tried to be more conscious of, especially, in the first year of raising my youngest, who is now 2, is the fact that like with each of his milestones, those are milestones that I have been able to learn and grow and figure out. And with each phase, even though I am a mom of multiple children, I have seen myself grow and change with the addition of each of my children and even reliving those certain milestone phases and seeing how I myself have changed as a mom. And I think that's something that's important to recognize. I think it's something that's important for us to give ourselves grace upon. And that has been a major, I guess, light bulb moment for me when I realized that as I was going through the first year, especially with my youngest, is realizing that, you know, each child is different and even yourself as a mom can, and it's okay if you're different with each of your children, each of your phases, whether it's good or bad. It is that journey that takes us through, you know, figuring out how we are as moms, figuring out our confidence in ourselves as moms, and learning to trust our instincts and figuring out each new phase that's ahead, and trusting ourselves to be able to figure our way out, I think, is what leads to the confidence. And then the second little big light bulb moment for me, and it very well goes against my nature of typically being an A-type OCD, everything needs to be my way type of personality, is knowing that once you have kids, and especially with the addition of additional children, that it just doesn't go. It really just doesn't go with what motherhood entails, and learning how to let that go. And learning through the process of not completely changing yourself, but learning how to adjust the way I think of certain things, whether it's decisions that, you know, my husband and I make when it comes to parenting, or whether it's how I had to adjust my work schedule to align with my responsibilities as a mom. It's just the flexibility that motherhood has taught me and given me is something that I think is actually a blessing in disguise. Even long after my kids are older and outside of the house, I think it's definitely a lesson that they are teaching me that will, and it already has made my life much more easier, I guess, and easier to not put that kind of pressure on myself, which I think is a huge, huge thing that all of us as moms battle, especially when we are questioning ourselves, when we are doubting ourselves, when we are the ones questioning the confidence that we should have in our own parenting abilities. I think that that's something that plays a huge role in it, is the mental load of being a mom, which I'm sure you guys all have felt, all have read or heard about. And I think that is, I think that that is a huge mental block that we put on ourselves that makes it hard. And so after having three little boys pretty much back to back the last 6 years, either being pregnant or nursing and, you know, adding one thing on top of the next, in addition to the kids, the number one thing that has helped me to, and I hate this word because I feel like that there's no word that is unachievable when it comes to being a mom. The finding balance, my finding my balance is realizing that there is no finding your balance. It's at any given point, at any given hour of the day, knowing that whatever you choose to prioritize in that moment is 100% okay. And that doesn't even mean attacking your to-do list. It doesn't mean if you're not attacking your to-do list, whatever you need in that hour, whatever you need to do for your child, for yourself, whatever it is, to know that those moments are okay to say yes or no, and giving ourselves the freedom to be able to say yes or no in that moment without the mental pressures that we put on ourselves, without letting the societal pressures that we feel like are out there that weigh on our decisions to do things, and letting go of that. And I'm not saying it's easy. I still struggle day to day as far as giving myself that grace, relieving myself of that pressure. It's definitely like an ongoing thing, just like the overall ongoing journey of finding confidence in motherhood. It's not some magic pill. It's not some magic cure, but the conscious effort to not let that overwhelm us, I think, is a huge weight that we can take off of our shoulders and make that journey a little bit easier, a little bit easier to breathe as a person, as a mom. And on top of that, that tie into, I think with the addition of each of my kids, the thing that has helped me, especially with my mothering abilities and trusting them, has been to trust my instincts. And I say all of this in hindsight because it's not something that I think I was aware of until I had all three kids. But the things that I felt like I knew the first time, totally second kid came along, and that was, my world was turned upside down with a whole new set of new lessons, right? And then, I mean, I will admit by the third time, I was just at a point where I'm like, okay, I just don't care. So we're going to make it work. So, but even that is a change, right? So through those different phases and the addition of each kid, I've learned very much so to, along with the not pressuring myself, getting better at trusting my instincts, knowing that, like, even in the moments where I question myself, I have found in hindsight that my own questions for myself or my own questions about what I decide to do for my kids is 99.9% more spot on than any piece of advice that I have received from mom friends, from well-meaning mom friends, from well-meaning family, people on the internet, articles that I've researched, Googled, whatever the source may be. There have been so many times, and I'm sure that you guys all have experienced it too, is we work ourselves up to like all of these expectations and all of these things and all of these worries where we, you know, question our confidence in what we decide to do. And yet when that moment or instant or parenting lesson situation is over, we really did, you know, strike out being lucky doing it our way or whatever it was that natural instinct was to, you know, do it my way. Like first time around when I was a first time mom, I was very hardcore about my child's nap schedule. And I didn't realize it at the time. I thought I was pretty lax, but first time around, I don't think Austin ever took a nap outside of the house. I think we were the parents that, yes, we went out, but if it was baby's nap time, we raced home. And at the time, I did hear comments. I was lucky enough that like a lot of family weren't vocal about their opinions, which I greatly appreciate. But I can definitely see how stuck in my ways I was, right? But then at the end of the day, it ended up working out for us because Austin, out of all three kids, is the best sleeper. He's literally the best sleeper. But when my second came around, by default, I needed him to be a more flexible kid because we had to coordinate around my toddler's schedule, school schedule, activities. Like I can't do two separate schedules when I'm trying to take care of two kids. And, you know, I was more lax. He did a lot of car seat naps. We were on the go. And then with Ben, my third, he was even more flexible on the go. Guess what? All three of them pretty much now at 2, 4, and 6 have the same sleeping schedules, no matter whatever it is. I thought, you know, it worked for us in each moment. And I'm glad that I stuck to what I knew. But then at the same time, all of the overthinking, all of the overanalyzing, all of the sleep articles I read, all of that stuff. Yes, it worked in each of the times. And I'm glad that it helped me get through each phase. But it is at the core, the foundation of what like connects everything for me, and that in that personal experience was me being able to trust the fact that like whatever it is I decided to do for each of my kids, in the end, worked out for each of them. Sure, it was all different ways and all different situations and circumstances and pieces of advice and nuggets that I chose to like put together, but they're all thankfully healthy, kind of well sleepers now. They try to stay up a little later than usual. But yeah, so anyway, all of that long story to say, trusting your instincts is so stereotypical, but so crucial for us to know ourselves as moms and to be able to be open to the community and village, but at the same time, not feel bad when you are taking ownership of your mothering abilities, your parenting decisions.
I was just going to jump in real quick. And I think that part of it, finding your confidence, is that you have to figure out what your instincts are. Like before kids, I didn't, like, of course I'd heard that phrase, but I didn't know what my instincts were. I never had to follow them. And now having kids, like you mentioned later bedtimes, like it's summer, we don't have to be anywhere in the morning. Sure, stay up later. Whereas before, like my type A self was like, no, it's 7 o'clock. You need to be in bed. And life, but now I'm following, I know what it means to follow my instinct. Like life will go on. If they're not in bed.
And that, and that has been my personal experience. Like when I was a child, when I was a mom of one, my instinct at the time was get that baby to sleep or otherwise you're not going to sleep. That voice, one, only grew louder with the passing of time. And that voice also changed opinions with each kid. And that was a perfect example. That's exactly what we're going through now, going into summer break. And I'll laugh at myself now when I go through like that time at like 8:39 or whatever it is for us and think back to the times where I used to literally give myself an anxiety attack because heaven forbid my baby is not in bed asleep, dead asleep by 7:30.
Yeah.
You know, but at the time that's what spoke to me and that's what eased my mom anxiety at the time.
Right. Exactly. Cause when you have one kid, you can kind of control their sleep to some degree because there's not another kid to wake them up or whatever. And so you control what you can and you give up the rest as you lose control with more kids.
Absolutely. And it's especially when, aside from personality, because obviously that's like an individual thing, but when we have so many, I guess, societal pressures, right? Of so many different groups of people, different pools of opinion saying this way is the right way, do it this way, whatever. The thing that I realized, even though like at different phases, I've felt like I've been parts of certain camps of opinion, the thing you should be open to, and that's what gives you the freedom to mother confidently, is to know that like you might feel that way at one point and that's okay. And it's okay if it changes and you move even to the complete opposite end of the spectrum. At the end of the day, no one can tell you that you're wrong. No one can tell you that you're not doing it the right way besides yourself, right?
Right.
And to be okay with that. Because I have been in situations where it's like, okay, like I've told myself this, I've told my other mom friends this, like this is me, this is how I mom, and this is how it's gonna be. And so when you hit that point where it's like, oh wait, maybe this time it won't work that way, I feel like that's a ding against ourselves. And but the acceptance of knowing that, like, again, this whole motherhood journey is a journey. Your opinion will and can change, and that is okay.
Well, and when I first realized that, it felt like such a betrayal to like my identity. Absolutely. And myself, because it's like, but you can't decide how you're going to raise a child when they're a newborn, because guess what? They're also a changing of all the time, and everything else around you is always changing. So it's okay to change your mind. And that was a big hurdle for me.
Absolutely. Sorry, I had my 4-year-old try to interrupt me. But see, just like this, if this was me, like even 5 years ago, I would have probably just flared up like, what's going on?
Yeah. So in the chat, Jenna just said that control was a really hard challenge for me. And I agree, because it feels like I'm constantly keeping my own ego in check. of like, I feel this need to like control everything and make it work for me, but there are also two other people that I deal with every day that it also has to work for them too. So.
And that like mental, I guess, path I've let myself have has on the flip side in turn made the overall process a lot easier for me.
Definitely.
I feel like the obsessing or the trying too hard to force something, force a schedule, force whatever into this like shape that I've created in my mind only added to the negative feelings associated with it. Instead of, so like freeing myself from that has allowed me in actuality to stick more to what does come naturally to me, like being open to it has created more opportunity to be, you know, as schedule ridden or, you know, naturally orderly type of person. Like it's affording me more of those opportunities because I'm not spending that time like so wound up about the things that aren't working.
So let me ask you this. So as a fellow recovering type A person, if he wants to come on in, that's fine. If he needs to come sit. So as a former type A person or recovering, because I still have very strong relapses, there's also this like need to please people and like do what I think other people want me to do. So I feel like I'm constantly like trying to find the middle ground between following my instincts and what I think I should do, but also like appeasing people and their opinions. So where, how do you find the middle ground with that? Especially like with family. Families, it's really hard for me because I take all their opinions and comments very personally, and more personally than they even intended them to be.
Absolutely.
So how do you find the balance between that?
Well, I resonate hardcore with this question because of the fact that, especially when it comes to family, I have always been a people pleaser, to say. Like, not even in a negative way, but like I truly do get joy out of being the one serving others. And so that kind of, you know, spilled over into unknowingly letting well-intentioned family members' opinions way more importantly than my own. And it was even made harder. I think internally it was even more of a guilt or thing that I pressure for myself that I put on, because I was lucky enough that all of the people that offered opinions were never overbearing. Their intentions were never bad, because I feel like in that situation, it would be easier for me to push back, right? Because I feel like when I know that it's negative, or if it's just you critiquing me to critique me, it would be much easier for me to do like mama bear mode and like get on the defensive. But for me, because they never really crossed that line, it always made me question if, you know, if their opinion happened to differ, like, should I be considering that or whatever? And so
it's always those little passive aggressive comments.
Absolutely.
Get.
And so it has truly taken probably just this past year. I have been a mom for the last 6, almost 7 years. And consciously, this past year is the first year that I've realized to set those boundaries. Even for myself, because I, like you said, I think I put more of that on myself than any of them ever intended to. But that doesn't negate the fact that that's the effect it has on me.
Right.
And so my conscious decision, the things that I have control over, is my reaction to that. And so I have been much more conscious of even mentally setting those boundaries, or not being afraid to. And I'm kind of still trying to figure out the way, because I'm very much like I don't want to say abrasive, but I'm pretty just like an open book. So I don't do
the whole, say like, abrasive for myself.
Yeah, I just say it how I feel like it is.
Right.
So I have been working on delivering that message, or saying, hey, you know, thanks for that, but this is how it's going to go, and not feeling guilty about it. Right.
Right.
Getting it out there isn't the hardest part for me. Saying it and then not feeling bad about it is internally, for me, the hard part. And so that's what I've been working more on internally, setting those boundaries, being okay that I said that, and being okay that it doesn't matter what their reaction is. If I feel strongly about it and this is about my child, or, you know, something I decide to do, it's okay. Like, that's where it ends.
Right.
And so mentally, it's been one of those like checklist types of things. Like, if I hear it, I don't gloss over it anymore, because I have realized that it just builds up over time, and then it manifests in other ways. Mostly not even at the person who planted the seed, but it manifests to my children.
Yeah.
It comes out for me in negative ways on them in a situation that has
to do with
yourself.
Yeah.
And 100% disclosure, I am a yeller by nature, previous to having children. Obviously, being a mom has only made the situation worse. But those are the signs that I look for. Like, it's very easy to talk about things and things that I should be doing, things that you should be doing in a situation like this, where we're just talking about it, right? But in that moment, it's really hard. It's really hard to act it, live it. So those are the things that I have learned to get better at and to recognize are those signs. If I've had X number of days in a row that I have, you know, yelled at my kids or felt my patience going overboard when there was no need, truly when there was no need, those are the things that I look back and think back to, you know, this conversation with this family member or this conversation with this person, like, this must be what started and I didn't put that door up.
Totally.
Say, hey, like, that's not, I don't need that opinion and I don't need to feel bad about it. But 7 years in, and I'm definitely still working on it.
Yeah. I'm definitely the same way. If I'm really honest with myself, I could trace it back to the exact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I'm sure the person who made the comment doesn't even remember making.
No, but it was probably a passing comment, but like, it lasts with us, right?
Even
if it's something, like, I probably couldn't even tell you the last time, but, like, I know, I like you, I can pin that moment in time. I know internally what my reaction was. I tuck it away and store it away, and then it comes out as this, usually to my kids.
Because for me, it comes back to, like, how can I control their opinion of me? And if your opinion is ever that I'm a bad mom or even like a subpar mom, it's like,
So I take that out on my kids because, oh no, you're misbehaving, which that portrait, you know, parlays into me being a bad mom or not parenting right or not doing this way. That's why you're reacting this way.
But that's their problem. And it's not mine.
And yeah, it goes back to our own insecurities for ourselves, our reactions to whatever that may be. Because let's be honest, at the end of the day, your kid being whatever way in that moment, what's going to happen, 99% probably true that it was going to happen with or without your input, right? Because kids are just a roller coaster.
Yes.
We do our best to manage it, but
they're their own people.
Right. There's no logic behind what we create and the frame of mind that we put ourselves in.
Totally. So we have a question in the chat. I'm just going to read it for you. This is from Danny. I have found after 4 kids and 5.5 years that I often feel like my mind/identity is completely consumed by motherhood and that it can be a challenge to esteem myself and connect with others as a professional or an individual separate from motherhood. How do you balance personal identity with motherhood and present that to the outside and professional world? I want to be confident in both aspects of myself, but often feel like I'm 100% mom all the time.
Absolutely. I am a working mom, by the way. And so there's nothing more that's a great question. It was one of my, when I was pregnant with my first, it was one of my first things, like pre-parenting, right? Like, you're a great mom when you don't have kids. Let's just say that.
Yes.
I was 100% gung-ho. I'm going to be good. I'm going to leave my kid at home and go back to my career and 100% be okay. Then I had my baby, and then I had this little seed voice planted in my brain that I had no control over, tugging and pulling me in every which direction, that even though that I was personally in a situation where I was able to go back to work and, you know, balance working from home and all of that stuff, like, that voice never goes away. And this is coming from a mom. Like, I'm very okay traveling without my children and husband. I am fortunately afforded the opportunity to do so through my work sometimes. We try to regularly schedule date nights. I haven't been the best at it. I try to make time to see my friends without our kids. And even still, that voice, that mom voice, 100%, like, you are a mom, that never goes away. I'm not going to lie to you, because as much as I'm like, the last time I left town, it was a few weeks ago, my husband's like, oh my gosh, you're going to have overnight hotel. Yes, it's for work, but you're going to be alone and silent. Don't get me wrong. I was jumping up and down, super, super excited. But guess what? The minute I got out of my car and got into that airport, I literally texted my husband, I wish you and the kids were here with me.
You're such person than me.
It's like, no, and don't get me wrong, I've definitely had trips where I'm like, peace out, like, I'm good, I was due for this. So, but that's the thing, is that voice is always there, and that learning to control that voice or the volume of that voice, I think, is what gets better over time. So back to the original question, how do I balance it? I try my best as far as like big things or big events, obviously, with the phase of my life that I'm in currently. I do still have friends who are getting married or, like, you know, big life events like that. I kind of use those opportunities as my like milestones throughout the year to make sure that I'm like getting adult time. But especially being a work from home mom, staying connected with other moms, other women, other professional women, I'm not going to lie to you, has been a conscious effort on my part. Case in point, I had never attended this conference back in Austin. This was completely of my free will, but I had to put myself out there. It would go, as much as like I seem lively and very like extroverted behind a screen on a camera, I had 100% anxiety about going to this conference and meeting my friends like Heather at this conference. was it an amazing experience? And am I so glad I did it? Absolutely. But putting myself out there to do it was a whole other story. And I feel like it's really common, even in like local mom meetups, when you're trying to make local mom friends, or even with your close girlfriends, like trying to make that time is so much harder as moms than in any other phase of our life, right? And so I don't have it boiled down to a science. I thankfully have a husband who obviously feels my pent up anxiety when he knows that I need a night out with my girlfriend or whoever. He honestly serves as my reminder to say, hey, I think you should even like go grab a coffee with whoever. Because I spend pretty much Monday through Friday in this office working. When I leave the office, it's either to go to school pickup or to run another Target run or grocery run. And then I come back. And then I tell myself, oh, I'm going to go do this for myself after the kids' bedtime. And maybe two kids ago, I used to do that. Nowadays, 100%, I'm, you know, 99% bet it's I stay home. But if you do, if you are longing for that connection, if you are longing for community or feeling connected, then this is from someone who very well, like I've had luck in connecting with moms in the online space, but translating that into actual in real life connections, it really is hard. It really is probably harder than dating in our 20s. I highly encourage you to put yourself out there. There hasn't been an instance where I've had this exact same conversation with another mom that she didn't feel the same way.
100%. Yeah. Brittany and I are really big on figuring out whatever it is that reminds you of who you were before you were mom. And for me, that's hard because before I was a mom, I felt like I had so much time and not really, I mean, like I had hobbies, I guess, but never like anything like this is like my thing. And now I feel like now that my time to be Heather is so precious that you really have to like dial in what makes you feel like that. Because I have noticed a direct difference between when I'm only being mom and when I'm being mom and Heather, like at the same time, that really makes me a better mom.
And this is, and someone, I'm very much about self-care, but that's the other thing. Don't put yourself under the pressure that you have to do some extravagant thing of like what we see portrayed as self-care.
Totally.
Seriously, taking 10 minutes literally to scroll through my phone for anything outside of like mom and reading a funny article or hitting a page or two in my Kindle, turning on my Hulu and watching my show and not a cartoon, that is more than enough to like refresh myself. That, you know, of course, like who wouldn't love like a spa day getaway with your girlfriend? So let's be real. Like everyday people can't do that on a whim whenever. It just doesn't happen. If you can make those things happen, great. If not, like even the 5-10 minutes that you take during the day to shut the mom part of your brain, do it for yourself because you need it. You deserve it.
And I think that how you get that time throughout the day is going to change constantly too. Cause both my kids stopped napping like right around the age of two. So I went from like, I'm staying at home. I'm with them all the time. Like there's no more breaks built in. Like nap time was like my one hour if I was lucky most days. And so now my thing I do is I come hide in my office with my laptop and I stream Hulu while the kids are watching their movie or something. Cause I'm like, I can quote enough Disney movies. I don't need to watch them anymore with them. They're fine. And I'm going to come in here for an hour by myself and regroup. And now we're good. So building in that time, even if you think you don't have it, I think is important too.
Yeah. It just like, just take 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Think about the woman that you were before you had kids. There's no guilt in that. And to remind yourself the things and those interests might have changed. Like you don't need to recreate it, but to connect with your past self pre motherhood, I think is crucial to being able to figure out what you need for yourself today. And it is, I will say like feeling connected now post babies has definitely taken actionable part on me to put myself out there to connect whether in the digital space, putting myself out there and going to like local events. I'm a working mom, so I wasn't able to join like the traditional, like even mom groups. I was still working outside of the office when I had my first child. So it didn't even cross my mind that I should join some of like the newborn groups of like, you know, that my hospital offered for the same mom, because I was like, oh, well, I'm going back to work in 10 weeks and then I'm not going to be able to go. So why do that?
Right.
And it is, it's one of those things that in hindsight, I regret that even if it was those short few weeks, maybe if I would have put myself out there, that's a friendship that I could have had. Obviously I'm not living in regret, but those are the types of, I guess, decisions that you have to make pertaining to your like professional, working situation. But as far as the mom friends that I have made since the first time, have all been through me proactively putting myself out there. And don't get me wrong, it is the hardest thing, it's the scariest thing, especially locally, to kind of reach out. But from my personal experience, truly, there has not been a mom that I've connected with that hasn't reciprocated in some way, shape, or form, feeling the same way.
I agree. Actually, I don't know if you know this, that's how Brittany and I met, through our local running group. And so, because I ran before having kids. And so I was like, well, I guess that's like, it's a reason to get out of the house.
Yes.
So, and that's how Brittany and I met. And we had a brief stint as runners. We've since retired.
Yeah.
But yeah, just getting out the door. And I know with like a baby, that seems insurmountable sometimes, but just even if that's what you spend all your time doing all day long, just get out of the house, make connections. And even if it's a missed connection and you feel like you put yourself out there, nothing can
be. It's not going to be like rainbows and butterflies with every person you meet.
Right.
It's literally just like dating. But I would say, I mean, if you want to start small, I would say, obviously we are super lucky to have like online group, Facebook groups. I think most regions thankfully have, you know, a space like OKS Mom's Blog in Northern California. If you do your research to wherever you're local to, and kind of just want to dabble in it that way, and you don't even have to say anything, but at least kind of lurk and find out information if there's something that's what I used to do. I literally joined like a local mom's group. I'm not very active, but I happened to see an event that was at a restaurant that I was wanting to go to for years. And I was like, I'm going to go. Kind of half knew one person at the time, and it ended up, I mean, did I walk out being best friend soulmates with everyone? Absolutely not. Did I have an amazing time? And it was great to just like check out and just eat and have an adult conversation for 2 hours. Absolutely.
Well, and I kind of think it's easier as a mom. You have an instant icebreaker with the kids. So, I mean, who doesn't want to talk about their kid? So just ask them some questions and then you can go from there. So I have a question. So what happened? What do you do when let's say you and the mom get along really well, but maybe your kids don't, or like maybe your kids play super well together, but maybe your parenting views don't line up.
So I've had, for me, I've had more experience with the latter. I have uniquely with the mom friends that I've made, because we're kind of even locally in Metro Detroit, we're kind of spread out. So it's very rare that I'm able to meet them with my work schedule. It's usually without kids. So I haven't had that experience. I have, however, obviously as my kids get older and have schooling and, you know, meeting other parents of their friends, like their friends first, and then I end up meeting school parents. So I haven't had anything super awkward. We have recently had an incident come up with one of his closest friends at school and him. You know, it wasn't any like bad part either way, but obviously my instinct is to get defensive of my child and his part and whatever happened. Have I reached out to her? No. Was it a serious enough situation that I would? Absolutely not. But I feel like I am in my motherhood journey confident to where if it was a situation that warranted something like that, a hard conversation, especially involving my children, I would choose to have that hard conversation. Obviously, I think at the end of the day, our motherly instinct wins out. to have that conversation over the loss of that relationship, which, I mean, hopefully if the conversation goes well, that doesn't happen. But especially when our kids, my kids are as young as they are right now, I'm trying to set that, I guess, environment to know that I'm advocating for them in those situations. It would take a lot for me though. I'm pretty laid back when it comes to kids and altercations and things like that. I think I'm very much quote unquote old school and take after my parents when it comes to things like that. That kind of goes against the nature of my usual A-type personality. And I don't know. I don't know if it's because I'm a mom of boys. I don't know if it's just as I age and have more kids, I'm starting to care less. It might be a combination of all of those things. But my instinct would be to have that awkward conversation. But two, it would take a lot for me to feel that defensive. I'm much more, I think, conscious of teaching my kids a lesson out of a situation than, you know, having to, I guess, be confrontational with another parent. I mean, but at the end of the day, a friendship is a friendship. Your kids are your family, obviously.
Right. I just wanted to throw it out there to the attendees that if you do have questions, there's a Q&A box or a chat you can drop them in if you want to answer those. So Jenna has a question here. I've moved multiple times over the past 10 years. Finding new mom friends is always a priority for me when feeling a part of a community. What are ways moms can find in-person friends who are supportive of you?
So like Heather said, I know from, I obviously haven't moved, but I have had friends that I've made who are new to town here. And those were connections all made via mom group things. I think most of them were groups on Facebook. I think a couple were through your kids' school. So, I mean, if your kids are starting to be in school, I think that is a great place to kind of, you know, an icebreaker situation to be able to meet parents of your kids' friends. That's the, I guess, phase of my life that I'm learning now. We are actually just finishing up Austin's kindergarten year. And so I have connected with other moms through his class, which has been like a natural kind of segue into that. Other ways I know, I mean, my local mom friends literally as soon as they got here or, you know, even in preparation for their move would start looking. And it might be easier in certain regions than others, but whether it's like a play group or a mom-based, like mom-focused group in the region, literally for us, there's so many ways to connect online. It's just to having to do the research and looking up those connections. I know she also might, I'm thinking of one specific friend who has traveled a lot with her husband, and she said that the local public library has been a really great resource for her wherever they ended up, just because of the free resources that they have. They actually, for us locally, they advertise a lot for like local kid events and things like free events like that. But off the top of my head, those are the, I guess, resources that my friends who have moved here from out of town and have also since moved to other areas have really been able to connect with and make mom friends.
So the library, that's where they all hang out. That's the place to pick up all the moms.
It is. I mean, Target's there too, but you end up talking to random strangers and moms at Target. But
I feel like that's not always as well received as a library or a park or something.
I guess it makes sense, but wherever like the kid focused activities are, even like I was just talking about it, is events in general where moms can freely attend typically are around their kids, right? Like it's a luxury for us to have, like I'm thankful that I have my family nearby that I can use as childcare, but even then it's a planning. It's much easier for us to plan around events that we can bring our kids to than not, right? And so I feel like this is probably universally true for most mom events, is when it's a kid friendly thing, your chances are higher that there are going to be more attendees.
Totally.
And so I don't think that there's any shame in that. I think those are the naturally happening situations that can lead to potential friendships or, you know, making local connections in person. So it is. I mean, I've been that person, like, awkwardly walking in, looking around like a deer in headlights. But, you know, most of the time, if someone sees you looking like a deer in headlights and comes up and says hi.
Yes. Yeah. Remember that feeling. So what are some tools or things you do when you're not feeling very confident? Maybe you're noticing you're snipping more at your kids and your husband.
So this is something that I am going through right now. As much as I have always, quote unquote, thrived under pressure, I have realized more in the last year about my capacity to handle all the things and knowing my limits. And I, not that I shut down, but I do. When I hit my limits, it does. For me, it comes out in very obvious ways. It's much like PMS symptoms, but I don't call them that. It literally is. I know when my patient's tank, being a mom, has literally hit empty. It comes out in the same specific ways for me, where I yell at my kids over things that really aren't a big deal. I'm snippy at my husband without even telling him what had happened that day. All stereotypical things. I feel it within myself. Physically, I have the same symptoms for me. I am a chronic migraine sufferer, and that always coincides with my mental health as well. Like, it sounds weird, but when I am so worn down mentally is when I obviously am not taking my care of myself physically. And so it shows up in physical symptoms for me. So when I hit those phases, which I do quite regularly, the thing that I have learned, and this is just recent because I never used to before, I used to just suck it up, tell myself to get over it, and push through it, which was completely unhealthy, like literally just unhealthy, and probably just elongated. I don't know if that makes sense. Made that whole situation worse. But nowadays, like, I have learned to take that rest day, like, still keep my childcare, shut my laptop off, and literally do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Being a work-at-home mom, I used to put a lot of pressure on myself, if anything, that it was harder. Like, I needed to do more work to prove myself and to prove that I was worthy of becoming, being called a good mom and a good worker, because I am at home. Like, I am in this, you know, privileged situation where I get to do both things that I want to do and do it at home. I would put that guilt on myself that I had to be perfect at both.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something, especially in the last year, I am out of the infant fog with my last baby, and I have chosen to give myself the freedom to be able to take an actual sick day. Not that there's ever an actual sick day, but to guilt freely take a sick day, still keep my childcare. And if I'm physically run down, it's okay for me to try and get better.
Right.
Because me pushing through that, it literally just makes that situation last days longer. And I've seen it happen because I've tried to do it. I've tried to push myself out of it, get more done or whatever. And it doesn't. I mean, and it's just going to physically get worse as I age. So.
I agree. I feel like I've done a better job personally of, like, recognizing when I'm burnt out, which is a big part of the battle, I feel like. But the other part
part of the battle, admitting that, I think that's why it took me so long to be conscious of it, because I didn't want to see it. Right. I didn't want to see myself as less than in any way, shape, or form.
Exactly. So now I feel like the other half of the battle is to, like, follow through on that. And do what I need to do to get back to zero. Yeah. So what do you think is a way, how can we empower other moms, both new and veteran moms? What can we do to help each other?
So the number one response to that and not just mental health, but like everything when it comes to motherhood, that I have heard time and time again with online friends I've made, in-person friends I've made, other moms, women thinking about becoming moms, everything is literally this. And this is why I'm so excited to join, is we are so, again, so focused on being 100% mom mode all the time. You don't have the opportunities that we did pre-kids to connect with other people, let alone other moms, to have conversation, to just talk to, I mean, yes, like this is not like, I'm not giving out medical advice or anything like that, but so many moms, every single mom that I have talked to outside of like friends that I grew up with and ended up, you know, gracefully going into motherhood with, like mom, truly friends that I met as mom friends, we all feel the same way, is having this type of open communication. Even if it's like, if it's a friend you meet online and you're texting or messaging each other or whatever, but like all of us are so afraid to speak our truth, to speak about what goes on day to day, because we're so concerned that we're not doing something right. We're not confident in the way that we mother or whatever is going on in our lives. We don't have those conversations. That may be the lack of opportunity. It's because that may be because we don't put ourselves out there, but like things like this, things like, you know, in-person groups and workshops, more and more that I've been seeing, which makes me happy. And is pretty much the reason that I continue to be like a public online presence, if you want to call it that, is I want moms to know they're not alone in most of what you're feeling. There is some mom, probably many moms out there, who have felt or feel what you're going through. And it might be things that you read about. It might be things about you see all the time. And yet when it comes to your personal experience with it, it's really hard to find, or it's really hard to like have that conversation, a simple conversation that can change literally your mood for the rest of the day. And making those conversations happen. I just did a segment at our local TV news station with other moms. She was there for another segment, and her number one, both of us saying, people have been having babies forever. This is not a new thing. Moms have been everywhere since everywhere, but the community or the way we parent or the village looks a lot different now than it did even 50 years ago, or even, you know, 30 years ago in our parents' generation. We obviously need the independence. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that I would thrive if I didn't have my own way of figuring out my way to do things. There's a, you know, confidence that comes with me being able to figure it out on my own. But at the same time, we, because of that and because of the way that villages look these days, we have to put ourselves out there and create those villages ourselves. And so I think,
yes,
what you guys are doing is key.
Yeah, no, we definitely feel that so hard. And that's definitely our goal, is to abolish all the judgment, because I feel like we're our own worst enemies, as far as not supporting each other. And I know it's so easy to judge. I'm also a recovering judger, but if there's one thing motherhood's taught me, is like, never say never, because
absolutely,
you never know 100%. What kind of kid you're going to get, or what kind of kid your kid's going to turn into. I mean, you can sit here and say like, oh, my kid would never do that. And I guarantee you within like the week, your kid will do that. So
no, and I'm an ex-judger myself. And it's one of those things where it's like, you can't predict anything, and my stance on something could change like that.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're ready to point the finger at yourself and calling yourself out, don't ever judge, because you're never going to know. And this is the thing, you could be 100% judger. At the end of the day, what they choose to do with their children has absolutely no bearing on how you're going to parent your children.
Exactly.
And 100% all of us need to be okay with that. Unless obviously it's a situation where the child is being harmed or whatever, of course, like that, you know, goes without saying. But in superficial online mom shaming land, I think
especially online, because you're only getting like this much of the story, you know? I mean, and you're getting what they're portraying and what they want you to see. And so,
no, and I think that that's what we do as a society, because all of those things stem from our own individual insecurities, right? So I think those who choose to put that negativity out there aren't consciously doing it. I think it's a reaction to whether, you know, it's an experience that they personally have where they felt inept, whatever it is that, you know, fulfills that void for them, right? Because that's usually what the case is.
Agreed.
I think we need to learn how to better take care of ourselves, because I think that's where it starts. Because once we feel whole as moms and trust ourselves, the less and less you're going to care about anybody else.
Agreed.
And what they have to say. And you're going to be okay with it, because really, it doesn't matter what everyone else chooses to do. What another mom feels confident doing, you don't have to feel confident doing. It doesn't have to be the same thing. It's just that is finding confidence in motherhood is going to look different for everybody. You're going to sometimes mesh and be on the same page with other moms at certain phases. I've been that person that I never. What do you know? 2 years later, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it all ties together in that, you know, you don't need to feel overly confident. You need to be open to making mistakes. You need to let yourself just be, right? Just like we got through awkward teenage years, got through college, every other phase of your life. I don't think women and moms put as much pressure on ourselves as we do since becoming moms, to be honest.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.